This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com.
Hello and welcome to the New York Giants, a team without a home podcast. In this two-part mini-series, we will take a trip back to the early 70s and dive into a dark period of time in Giants history. You can find this and many other great podcasts on the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sports. And now, here's your host, Joe Santos.
The New York Giants, a team without a home. The New York Football Giants have been playing their home games in New Jersey since 1976. Prior to this time, however, there was a period when the team was homeless and were traveling gypsies from 1973 to 1975. In this documentary podcast, we will take a look at a turbulent time in this team's history and the reasons why they were kicked out of their iconic home at Yankee Stadium and were forced to play their home games nearly 80 miles from New York City before settling into the Meadowlands in New Jersey. The reasons for the move. The New York Giants played their home games at Yankee Stadium from 1956 until September of 1973. The team played some memorable games there, including winning an NFL championship in their first season, defeating the Chicago Bears 47-7. In 1958, they again played for the NFL championship in a game called the Greatest Game Ever Played against the Baltimore Colts, which was the first ever sudden death overtime contest in NFL history. And in 1962, the NFL championship game took place there between the Giants and Green Bay Packers. This would be the last time a playoff game would ever be played at Yankee Stadium. After appearing in three straight championship games from 1961 to 1963, the team's level of play fell off dramatically, and it wouldn't be until 1981 until they would reach the playoffs again. Despite the team's poor play for much of that span, that didn't deter fans from supporting the team and selling out the games. But even though the fans kept showing up, the Giants had always been second-class citizens in New York City, both at the Polo Grounds and Yankee Stadium. The baseball teams always got first privileges and sometimes made life for the team difficult. For example, not allowing preseason games at Yankee Stadium or insisting on away games early in the season. Also, Yankee Stadium was designed for baseball, not football, and as such, Giants fans had complained for years about the unsatisfactory seating at the stadium, where the only good seats were along the left field line. Team owner Willington Maris said, "In going around the circuit, we felt other clubs were able to take a lot better care of their fans. We had a lot of obstructed view seats at Yankee Stadium, and we had a huge waiting list for tickets. We thought if we could get better locations for more people, it was something we were very interested in." This was the backdrop when, on March 25, 1971, the New York Times published an article stating the Giants had forged a verbal agreement with the state of New Jersey to explore future options of constructing a football-only stadium on the other side of the Hudson River. The official announcement of the move was made on August 26, 1971, when Willington Maris stood with New Jersey Governor William Cahill and New Jersey Sports and Exhibition Authority Chairman Sonny Werblin, formerly owner of the New York Jets. The team was expected to start playing in their new stadium in 1975 and had signed a 30-year lease. Financially, it was a great deal for the team, and Morris cited the positive aspects of the new football-only stadium, such as more and better seating, easy access from the highway, and more parking close to the stadium. Accordingly, the team felt a sense of excitement as they began play for the 1971 season. They were coming off a successful 1970 season, which saw them win their most games since 1963 and miss the playoffs by one game that was lost in the final weekend of the year. And now, they had an agreement for a new stadium which they called their own, something they had never had in its history. But in an ominous sign of bad things to come, these good feelings would soon get squashed. For one thing, it wasn't that long ago when New York had lost both the Dodgers and baseball Giants franchises to California, and that was still fresh in the minds of many New Yorkers. As such, the backlash to the announced move to New Jersey was fast and furious. Within an hour of the announcement, New York City Mayor John Lindsay said he would go to court to prevent the team from retaining its New York identity and attempted to evict the Giants from city limits. Lindsay also petitioned NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle to bring an expansion franchise to New York and demanded the Giants drop the New York from their name and NY logo from their helmets. Unfortunately for Mayor Lindsay, New York City didn't own Yankee Stadium and therefore could not kick the Giants out. You see, Yankee Stadium was actually owned by Rice University, and the land under the stadium was owned by the Knights of Columbus. But the city would keep this card in their back pocket. More on this topic in a moment. Noted TV personality at the time, Howard Cosell, also got in on things and made his feelings on the topic known when he said, "The Giants have sold every available seat for 15 straight years. By moving across the Hudson River, the Giants were harming the people of New York City who had supported them so loyally over the years, and they were contributing to the city's image as an unlivable place." The governor of New York tried to smooth things over by saying, "The Giants are just as close to Manhattan as they ever have been." NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle added, "The new Giants Stadium will be 6.9 miles from Times Square. Yankee Stadium is 6.6 miles. The same fans will have tickets. The same fans will watch all Giant road games on the same New York TV stations." The Giants reverted to their losing ways in 1971 and finished the season with a disappointing 4-10 record. Remember in 1971 when Mayor Lindsay tried to evict the team when they first announced they were moving to New Jersey? Well, in August 1972, the city had finally obtained full ownership of Yankee Stadium, which allowed them to finance the much-needed renovations that was now scheduled to take place in 1973. And as you may recall, the agreement the team made in 71 called for them to play at Yankee Stadium until the end of the 1974 season under the terms of its lease there. But with the renovations to Yankee Stadium now officially scheduled to begin in September 1973, and with the construction delays in building the new Giant Stadium, the Giants found themselves scrambling to find an interim place to play their home games for the next 2 years. Since the city still harbored hard feelings from the team's announced move to New Jersey, Mayor Lindsay was in no mood to cut the Giants any breaks. The team explored several options for a temporary home, which included Downing Stadium at Randall's Island, Michi Stadium at West Point, and Palmer Stadium in Princeton University. But these all proved unsatisfactory for one reason or another. When the NFL released the 1973 schedule, it did so without indicating the place for the Giants' home dates. Where would the Giants ultimately play their home games? The answer was found 80 miles away, in New Haven, Connecticut, of all places, where in May 1973, the Giants came to an agreement with the Yale Corporation to play their home games for the 73 and 74 seasons. Despite the distance from New York City, the location made sense on a few levels, including the fact the Giants had played their preseason games there against the Jets, and New Haven, Connecticut was deemed close enough to their traditional fan base in New York for temporary games. The arrangement also involved shared revenues with New Haven and Yale and required the Giants to pay rent and make minor locker room upgrades. More on the Yale Bowl amenities in a bit. With the issue of finding a temporary home resolved, the promise of a brand new stadium on the horizon, and an unexpectedly good 8-6 season the year before, the Giants began the 73 campaign with high hopes. They finished the preseason with a perfect 6-0 record and began the season with a victory at home over the hapless Houston Oilers. On September 23, 1973, the Giants played their last game at Yankee Stadium. In an exciting finish, the Giants kicked a field goal as the clock expired. At the time, NFL rules prohibited spiking the ball to stop the clock, and the game ended in a 23-all tie, as there were no regular season OT rules at the time. Surprisingly, the fans weren't caught up in any sentiment, as nobody was observed snatching chunks of turf or tearing up seats. That may have been due to the fact that the Giants never advertised this as a farewell appearance, nor did they organize a ceremony for the occasion. Giants owner Willington Mara said, "I never felt moved to do it. No one suggested it. And believe me, I get letters suggesting everything." Maybe that's why there were 5,161 no-shows in what would be the first non-sellout of a home game since 1960. It's amazing to think that the last NFL game played at Yankee Stadium was not sold out.
On the next episode, we will examine the harsh realities of playing home games 80 miles from New York City and what would prove to have a direct and dramatic impact on the team's performance and ultimately lead them to change course once again. Please join me for part two of the New York Giants, a team without a home.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.